My brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are continuing our journey through the Gospel of St. Luke. And last Sunday, we had the story in the Gospel of St. Luke where Jesus calls the individuals, but they have their excuses why they cannot follow him, or why they will follow him, but it must be at a later time or at a later date. Today, my brothers and sisters, we have the other half of the story. And it's good to have the full story so that we can understand the message and the word of God. It's like the man who was complaining to his coworker. He said, "I've only been married 6 months, and I'm only worth $1 million. And the man looked kind of puzzled, and he said, "Why are you complaining?" He said, "Because before I got married, I was worth $10 million. There's always another half of the story. And today we have the other portion. Because while we had those who didn't respond to the call of God last week, today we have those who do respond. Jesus sends out the 72. To preach in his name, to proclaim the kingdom. And after he sends them out, they come back. And what does St. Luke note? They come back rejoicing in the proclamation of the gospel. They come back rejoicing in the work that they've been able to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And why are they rejoicing? "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." And it's very interesting to note the comment of Jesus. Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky." My brothers and sisters, I would like to use that as our image today. I observe Satan fall like lightning from the sky. The fall of Satan. And for each of us to contemplate in our own lives and how we live our lives and how we interact with other people. Does the Lord say to us, "I have seen Satan fall"? Or maybe not. It's a good point for reflection. And maybe, my brothers and sisters, we have a moment to reflect upon it today during this homily, or maybe it's an opportunity for our continued reflection in how we live our day-to-day lives and how we respond to the call of discipleship. Does the Lord Jesus say, by our actions, he has seen Satan fall? He has seen evil come to an end. He has seen sin turned away from. For the glory of the kingdom. And if we reflect on the activities of the 72, my friends, I think it gives us some food for thought in our own lives of whether or not we see Satan fall. Note one example. Many times, my friends, we see Satan fall because we have an extraordinary trust in God. We see Satan fall when we have an extraordinary trust in God, not in ourselves, not in our jobs, not in our degrees, not in our education, not because of our family background, but because we have an extraordinary trust that God always provides. And when we have that kind of trust, then we see the lures of Satan begin to fall away. Look what Jesus says to the 72. "Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves." That's what Archbishop Amon said to me when I came to St. Benilde. "I am sending you like lambs among wolves." Just kidding. Only 2 out of the 7 days a week. "Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way." Jesus was sending them out, but they had to rely completely on him. They weren't taking anything with them. It reminds me of a little story that's told of a priest who was preaching one day about the call of God to follow Jesus. And a little girl was listening to his homily. And when he got back to the church for the evening mass, he noticed the little girl sitting on the church steps. And all the way in the front of the church where the fence was, there was a little pink suitcase. And he kind of wondered to himself, well, maybe this little girl was running away from home or something. And so he got there and he began to have a conversation with her. And he discovered she wasn't running away from home. She said, well, Father, you said we need to follow Jesus. And I heard you and I decided to pack a bag and come and follow. And so I'm here. But he said, then she said, then I remembered you said we couldn't take anything with us. So I left my suitcase over there. I am ready to be a disciple. You see, my friends, what about us? When the Lord sends us, do we go? And if we do go, do we try to pack a suitcase? Or maybe five suitcases? Maybe fill a U-Haul? Because we're going to need all this stuff in order to complete the Lord's mission. And it's only when we have that profound trust in God that we see Satan fall. Because all of those other things clamor for our attention, pull our focus away from God, try to center ourselves on ourselves rather than being centered in Jesus. I remember as a seminarian, all of us had to do hospital chaplaincy work. And I was in Houston, Texas, and I remember going to visit a man. Those of you who either ever worked in a hospital or something, you know what happens when you hear a code blue. It means someone is in distress, and they are dying, and the whole medical team runs around them. Well, this patient was in code blue, and the whole medical team came in. They were able to resuscitate the person. And I remember having a conversation with him after as the chaplain a few days later. And he said to me, you know, I have placed my trust in my job. He was a very important attorney in Houston. And in the money that I have and the people that I know. But when I was lying there, realizing that this might be the end, I recognized that I placed my trust in all the wrong places. You see, my brothers and sisters, that's the temptation. The temptation is to place our trust in all the wrong places. And when we begin to trust in God, the devil calls a code blue. And he sends all his dominions to work on us in order to get us back. But when we trust in God, we see the fall of the evil one. That's just one example. Another example is this. We see Satan fall when we stand firm against evil. When we stand firm against sin. When we stand firm in the truth. When we stand firm in what we believe. Certainly, my brothers and sisters, on Monday, we celebrate Independence Day. And we certainly should be celebrating the fact that we were founded as a nation under God. We were founded on a biblical cornerstone. But if we look at much of society today, if you look at the modern media and politics, you would never guess it. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Make sure you put your feet in the right place and stand firm." You see, my brothers and sisters, do we stand firm? Jesus says to the 72, whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the dust of your own town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, when we stand firm in what we believe, there will be individuals who want to persecute us. Or individuals who want to call us bigots because we stand for what we believe about marriage and family life. about the cause of life. But when we stand firm, we see the fall of Satan. And one of the last little things, my brothers and sisters, that we can look at our own lives is this. It's actually verse 16, which we did not hear proclaimed in the gospel. But this is what Jesus says. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. How do we see Satan fall? Because Christ lives in us. And if Christ lives in us, my brothers and sisters, are we truly icons of the Lord in the world? And do we truly allow ourselves not to get caught up in whatever our sinful tendency may be, but do we allow ourselves to be centered in the Lord Jesus? And sometimes, my friends, we think we have to do extraordinary things in order to build the kingdom. But many times, it's just the little acts. The little acts of kindness within our own families. The little acts of kindness with our own coworkers. The little acts of kindness with that neighbor that just drives me up the wall. But by doing that, we die to self. We see Satan fall because we live more completely for God. There is a man who went to a psychiatrist. And he was telling the psychiatrist he had a great fear. Every time he went to bed, he got in his bed, and he was fearful that something was under his bed. So he went underneath. And then when he got underneath, he was fearful that something was on top of his bed. So he went back on top. And so all night he was up and under, up and under, up and under. And so the psychiatrist said, I can help you. It's only going to cost you $200 an hour. I need to see you every week. And in 2 years you will be cured. And the man, he was kind of astounded. And so he left. And the psychiatrist didn't see him again. Till about 6 months later, he ran to him in one of the local stores, and the psychiatrist asked him, why did you never come back? He said, oh, I've been cured. He said, you've been cured? Where did you get your advice? He said, well, after you told me it's going to cost me $200 every week for 2 years, I went for a drink. And I told my problem to the bartender, and he looked at me and said, I can solve your problem. Go home and cut off the legs of your bed. You see, my friends, we're always looking for big things to solve everything, even in the church. But you see, it starts with the little things. And in the little ways, we see Satan fall. And in the end, my brothers and sisters, by living our lives centered in Jesus, standing firm in what we believe and trusting in the Lord God, not only do we see Satan fall, but hopefully we hear the words of Jesus at the end of the gospel today. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My friends, that is the ultimate goal. That is what we're striving for, eternal life. May we live our life this day so that, praise God, our names may be written in heaven.